I listened for the first time, almost as if it were, to the lyrics of some of those songs. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, Paul said, as we sing and make melody in our heart, it teaches and admonishes us. I believe that the selection of the songs today have done that. And the things that we have done, the scriptures that we have pointed to, the reading of the song, I Surrender all of it summarizes what we're studying today in being workers for or with Christ. Last hour, we laid the foundation for our study. We quoted Paul in Romans chapter 1. We looked at various other thoughts concerning that it is not enough for us to merely be near what God wants. Our Father has stated we must do the will of the Father, Jesus said, Matthew 7:21, in order to go to heaven. I mentioned last hour that we would be asking and or talking about this during our sermon. I want to begin it by simply asking a very bold question. I want you to know my heart means everything that we say today, tenderly and lovingly, to exhort myself and to exhort each of you to walk in the steps of Jesus, to do what he wants us to do. And a periodic self-examination, I think, helps us. Even a business occasionally takes inventory and looks at how things are accomplished and the best way or maybe improving ways to do that. So I ask simply, in what way are you working for Christ? I obviously do not want you to answer out loud. I want you to think in your mind, personally, not about the one sitting to your right or left or in front or behind. Not a preacher, not an elder, not a deacon. Each of us doing the same thing. I will share with you my personal thoughts. For a long time, I've struggled with, am I doing enough? What else can I do? My time here on earth is brief. I want to make the greatest impact. I want to do the greatest good for my Lord and my Savior. He gave his all for me. What else can I do? One of the many conclusions and reactions that I've had to my own question has been, God doesn't expect me to be a Superman or you women to be a Wonder Woman. He doesn't expect me to do more than I can do physically. He does expect, require, commands, in fact, for me to do what I can do. My Lord said, Matthew 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's personal. It's what I can do, and he even gives us the purpose of it. But there's been times in my life when I've just kind of sat back and thought, okay, I'm doing enough. That's enough. Don't have to do any more. Is that kind of the way that you are? Is it possible that indeed we kind of think, well, some of us have already done our job. We've taught classes. We've evangelized. We've knocked doors. Now others can do that. There's nothing wrong with others doing that. But I don't read anywhere in this great book about retirement. I think I've told you before about an elderly elder. Reddick Pace was his name in Hardin, Kentucky. He had a raspy voice. I loved to hear him pray. And he would often in his prayer say, Lord, help us to wear ourselves out in your service. That made an impression on this teenage boy because I knew Brother Pace. I knew of his life, his godliness, his faithful family. I knew how he worked for that Union Hill Church for which my dad preached at that time. That captures a little bit about what we're talking about today. But I want us to begin by asking, what am I doing? Take inventory. I dare you. No, I'm not literally saying dare you. Write it down. Maybe this afternoon. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I've done. Recently, I'm doing this. I'm still doing this, so forth. I know that some of you will be able to say some things in what you're doing now that you hadn't been doing. Maybe time's passed. I've asked David to come up here and read in just a few minutes ago. David sat right there on that pew years ago. The two of us here on a Saturday, talking, opening our hearts to each other. And we both admitted that we hadn't done everything we should do. But I'm praying for David. I'm thankful for David and many of you. Jay, what he did this morning, and I could go around the whole room. We're doing things that are new. We've got an upcoming homecoming. These are cards to be given out, mailed, however you want to. We've got other things that are taking place evangelistically, edification-wise, etc., that are going to be happening soon. We can do even more than we've ever done before if our mind is made up to do it. I want to take some great lessons from the past and walk us through a little bit. I asked Randy to read from Nehemiah chapter 2 on purpose. I hope you noticed what he read. The walls was in disarray. It was a reproach to the people of God. And they were saying among themselves, let us rise up and build. In Nehemiah 4 now, we're going to see not only was there an urgent need, but here they were organized and they had a mind to work. Read with me for an example in Nehemiah 4. It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was angry, he was wroth, and he took great indignation and mocked the Jews, made fun of them. He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews do? What are they trying to do? They're feeble, they're weak, they're not good. Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they stop working after one day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? The walls have been burned. He's asking some pretty blunt questions. Verse 3. Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him. The two of them joined in together. And he said, why? I can just hear the smirky attitude. Well, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Insult and injury. Verse 4, Nehemiah says, hear, O my God, for we're despised. There's a need. Turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity. And let not their sin be blotted out from before them. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. In verse 6, we see an awesome statement. It starts out by saying, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Well, that's great to know, isn't it? It was a reproach. It was a terrible situation that burned it. It was collapsed, a heap. But I left out the last part of the verse on purpose until now. After he says, so built we the wall and the wall was joined together, he then said, for the people had a mind to work. Last hour when we talked briefly about Christ and God the Father's gift and Jesus' death, we see the purpose. We look out among us and we see lost souls. We see the urgency of our work. Somebody comes back and immediately says, oh, Paul, door knocking don't work anymore. I mean, the idea, only 3,000? It's not mathematical odds that we're working here. When I helped my lower right arm under the body and lifted up one that was from Puerto Rico in the East Hill building a few months ago. And I raised that young man out of the water. One soul worth it all. Here, we've got to have a mind to work to accomplish God's will. Let's now go to Ephesians over in the New Testament. I'm turning there, give you time to turn as well if you'd like to, in Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writing to a congregation of the Lord's people, and he's telling them, speaking of things that's very applicable to us. He's talking about those that have various talents. And there was a purpose, a goal. And as we pointed out last hour, God's plan is right. In Ephesians 4, begin reading with me in verse 11. And he, God, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. In other words, different talents. Not everybody can do everything. Not everybody can do this one thing maybe. But we all are to use our talents the best that we can. Then he said in verse 12, following that, for, he's going to tell us what it's for. He's going to explain the purpose and the goal behind it. For the perfecting of the saints. The path of perfection, we might say. In other words, and we're not talking about perfecting like, oh man, you're going to be perfect now. None of us are perfect. Perfecting here means the maturing, the helping the saints to grow, the taking of babes in Christ and helping them go toward one of full age. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry. We're all ministers of Christ. We're all to be workers in the kingdom of God. We're all to be sacrificing for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's three fours there, three different things given. And the last one is not less important than the first two, for the edifying, the building up. I didn't say it a while ago to be able to say it here right now. I told Debbie a while ago, it's good to see her. Keep going, keep on working. Gets hard, whatever, at times. I even told her if she ever slacked off, I was going to haunt. Nothing wrong. No, we're one of full age. We still make mistakes as an old man. And unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that, verse 14, we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they land what? But speaking the truth in love, do what? Speak the truth in love, we may grow up in unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body. I include verse 16 for this reason. Now we're talking about all of us, not just individually, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, helped by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When our daughter fell a few days ago, the AC ligament up here that holds things together, it tore it. You see, in my hand, there's little muscles, veins, arteries, all of it compacted together. My little finger couldn't move without the hand. You see, all of it interacts together as this physical body, but we do it spiritually. We're to work and help one another. We're to edify one another. We're to strengthen one another. And he said back up in verse 13, until we all reach that mature, full age person. All right? Go with me now to Philippians, next book. In Philippians chapter 2, I'll read a couple of verses. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, Paul is the same writer as he did in Ephesians. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. What did he say? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I don't know how many times, hundreds, no doubt, that I've used verse 12, quoted verse 12, read in sermons and classes. Work out your own salvation. But it takes on a different meaning today. When we're talking about being workers for God, workers with God, working out our own salvation with fear, with respect, even with trembling in the presence of the one with whom we are partnering, God, co-workers with him. Have you ever seen somebody on a job? Just kind of doing their job. Going about doing their job. The owner walked in, manager, supervisor, gets busy. I mean, you want to show yourself good. You want to make sure that he sees that you're working. Is that not, in a crude sort of way, how we should be? To realize that God is working in and through us to accomplish His will. To accomplish His good. That's what He said in verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. I've asked David to come and read now from Matthew chapter 25. It's a little bit longer reading than normal. Listen to every word as Matthew's account of the gospel helps us to learn even further concerning working with God.
Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servants. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Time will not allow me to explore all of the things that are flooding my mind concerning this, that Jesus himself said. He's telling us it's not 5 and 2 and 1. That's not it. That's not what's crucial. If you just have 1 talent, use it. If you have 2, use it. If you're blessed with 5, wonderful, use all of it. It wasn't the 1 talent man was condemned because he only had 1. It's because he didn't use it. He called him a wicked and lazy servant. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness. Whatever lame excuse that we might have in our mind concerning, well, I can't do that particular thing, or I've never done that before, whatever it may be, if we'll just listen to the words of Christ, and instead, maybe we'll have an attitude of, well, I haven't done that before, but I'll try. thought of Beverly right then, LaDon. LaDon's got a cousin that lives up in Kentucky. And just to add a little spark in that day, a few days ago, I text Beverly and I said, she's a faithful Christian, married to a faithful, godly man. And they were married on Tuesday when we were married on Friday. Well, I never have, but I think I'll try. And I thought, that's a good answer. And it kind of spills over to us in talking to people about their soul. Or maybe going to someone that's fallen away, erring. Maybe we never have. But if I'll go in a spirit of love, Ephesians 4:15, I read a moment ago, speaking the truth in love. If I'll go with a spirit of concern for their soul and just telling them that you're special to me, I really love you, I want you to be saved. See how we can do that. So now let me segue. I want to share some additional thoughts. I want you to know that this preacher has weighed this as seriously and as kindly, try to make it as helpful as can be. But I also want you to know the four elders prayed multiple prayers when we was together a week ago yesterday about you and about our leading and about overseeing and trying to feed and guide and to help us. So all of these thoughts are not just from Paul alone, but the composite of the four of us. Number one, we are workers together with God. I've already pointed that out multiple times. There's the two verses to which I referred. Paul spoke to the Corinthian church and he helped them to see your work in Christ for him, your hand in hand with Christ, with God. Your co-laborers with God. Nothing. Joseph was a carpenter. Paul was a tent maker. Various other job, tax collectors and whatever that existed for them to be able to live and make a living and to survive. None of that's important compared to having a hand in the Lord's hand and working with him. Number two, in Ezekiel chapter 22, we can read about God needing a man. Go and find me a man. There was some specification as to what kind of man. It wasn't just any man. I want to parallel that and just not necessarily belabor the point in Ezekiel chapter 22, but God needs men today. God needs women today. He needs virtuous women today. Proverbs 31. He needs those that are full of good about the Father's business. Luke 2. Our good works. God needs us. You know, the God that has everything, the God that created everything, the God, I mean, most of the time we would say, well, God doesn't need us. God doesn't need anything. But in this case, if indeed his work is done, it's in our hands. That song that we sing, swiftly we're turning life's daily pages, swiftly the hours are turning to years. The chorus says, into our hands the gospel is given, into our hands is given the light. Can I dare know the truth and not tell it to my neighbors? I want to seriously consider the fact that the Apostle Paul was a debtor and ready and not ashamed. And thereby, in those three verses, verses 14, 15, and 16, where we find that, debtor, ready, not ashamed. It kind of sets before us, each of us, what we can do, what we must do, attitude that we should have. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, Paul said we were created unto good works. There are various times in the Bible, this great word of God, that we find works mentioned. In James chapter 2, we learn that faith, just having faith, without works is dead. Show me your faith by your works. We cannot just merely say, I believe, but rather we are created unto good works. We are to abound in the work of the Lord. Let me put that in context. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15. In the first four verses of chapter 15, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Various other things are taught from verse 4 down to verse 50, where we learn about the body, spiritual, and the body, natural, this physical body, but then the spiritual body. He goes on further and talks about some things that are crucial, but in verse 57, where we're pulling closer to verse 58. Verse 57, he says, thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost like a volcanic eruption exploding in just happiness and joy. He's spoken about the death burial. He's spoken about the natural body, the spiritual body. He said that one day we're going to be raised. Verses 50 and following, at the trump, the last trump, we'll all be raised and we'll all be judged. Thanks be to God, he says, that gives us the victory in Christ. Then 58. He said, therefore, in light of all these things, he's just stated, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Be steadfast, my brethren. Unmovable. He refers there to a word that means a huge, stable. And he ended up pointing out that there are some that are not carrying their weight. And that there are some that are more a part of the destruction crew than the construction crew. I thought that was interesting. Which are you? What am I? If I'm nothing more than a negative Nelly, if I'm going around griping and grumping or whatever, I'm not saying any of you are, but if I'm doing that, that's destructive. If I'm looking on the bright side, if I'm positive, if I'm going to do the best I can to make it even better and better and better, construction. God doesn't need us to be feeding on gloom and despair and agony on us. It's true, our numbers are down. We've lost several to death. I actually meant to ask Joyce and Richard to show me, according to what we put out there on Homecoming Day, and how many members have we lost, even in the 10 years that I've been here? Several. I could walk around this room right now and call a bunch of names. Your family, your friends, no longer with us anymore. We could wring our hands. We could talk about the future, Where is it going? Neither of which does a whole lot of good. Or we could talk about, let's just do our best. Let's go about the Father's business as Jesus himself said in Luke 2, the latter part of that chapter. Let's pick up the pieces as best we can in the lives of those around us, many of which are hurting, suffering, and let them see Christ in us, glorifying the Father by our good works, Matthew 5:16. I do want, as I said earlier, to talk about a financial look. All of this has not been leading up to this. It's just another thought that your four elders looked at a few days ago. First of all, we know what God's plan is. Upon the first day of the week, let's lay by in stores. God has prospered us. As God has prospered us. In other words, each are to give financially what they can. I think I know some of you are doing above that. Maybe even giving more than you can. Or maybe more than you should. I don't know. I know some of you are giving. I don't know all the details of any of you for that matter, but I could tell you of some ones that have sent money and weren't able to attend. That's encouraging to see precious souls in our work. When we give a dollar or $100 or $1,000, doesn't matter. God is the one that gets the credit because we're just pooling our resources as a family of God to do his work. Children's home and the works that we do there, the ladies and the making of clothes for those in other countries. Good things. Third, we have lost members. It's just natural. I at one time knew how many we had lost. I've forgotten, I'm afraid to even guess, at East Hill in the 28 years I was there. It's unbelievable. A whole church. Many, many churches in some counts. There's that many that died. Almost as many as still there. It happens. And those that were giving their contribution on a regular basis, that ceases most of the times. So the elders, very tender admonition, review your giving. You ought to do that without us encouraging you to do that. If you can do more, that's great. That works not for us, not for our benefit, but for the work of the Lord to go on, as well as be consistent. It's easy. I mean, it's real easy to maybe be sick at home. You come back the next Sunday, you didn't give when you were sick at home, and you don't think about it. It's been a few months ago now, but I forgot my contribution. I tried to make it up over the next few weeks. I'm not saying, look at Paul, how glorious he is. I'm just saying, we all have an obligation for Joss, for Wayne Barrier, for Husto, the children's home, to keep the doors open, etc. Those obligations don't cease just because we're sick home or because vacation away or trip or wherever it may be. Just because we're polishing a pulpit in a few days. You see, I need to make sure to either leave my contribution or make it up when I get back. Because if all of a sudden, two or three or four of us maybe haven't done that, then we've run short. We don't want to run short in good works for God. Enough of that. Let's close it by saying, let's make sure our level of faithfulness is not just near, but yet so far. It's not just almost persuaded. Not just when it's a convenient season, to use some of the points that I've already made. But we are consumed in work and passion and doing and glorifying God the best that we can possibly do. And God will be pleased. Never perfect. Can't do that. If that's our goal, we're doomed for the failure. But if I'll just do the best I can do, that's all he asks. Richard's going to lead us in Zion's Call in just a moment. It's another beautiful song. Thank you for listening. I hope that our study today on workers for God has helped us renew our consideration of ourselves and maybe encouraged us to do the even better in the future than we have in the past. If there's any way we can help you, becoming a child of God, returning to faithful service, placing membership, whatever it may be, won't you come as we stand and sing?